It's 6
Long
o'clock.
Talk Radio.
And good evening. It's 6 p.m. on Sunday. This is the Sunday show. Once again, we have to say howdy to Jack Jodell. He is not with us this evening. We wish him well. He should be back, what, next week, Wayne?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Yeah, and my co-host this evening is our buddy Wayne Johnson, the engineer of knowledge. Thank you for joining me tonight, Wayne.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Greetings to everybody out there in radio land. So, and of course, you too, sister. By all means, I'm really interested in what you have to say from someone from the front lines of this topic. I've written about it in the past, but like I said, I want to hear from you.
Good. And that it leads us to our guest this evening, Sister Marie. Sister, is it Vessi or Vessi? How do I?
Vessi. Maria Vessi.
Maria Vessi. From the Loretto community in Kentucky. And Sister is on with us this evening to discuss and bring up awareness to what she and, yeah, how many of the sisters there at the Loretto community are working on the activism, as it were, against this fracking with the Bluegrass Pipeline? Why don't you organically give us your story, sister?
Well, I live here in what we call our mother house, and so we have retired sisters and semi-retired sisters and active people, and so we're all involved on different levels. Those of us who can drive and get around to the different meetings that are happening here in our counties, we're the outgoing active. And then we have the sisters and people who, through their prayers and thoughts, are helping us to keep deepening, as it were, our awareness of what is happening around us insofar as what it's costing us to have all these plastics, like they say, and propane and heating and just all the good things that we're used to,
yeah.
Basically. That's what comes into the conversation, you know. And certainly we hope that there be more jobs available to people. But we would like those jobs to be available in areas that have more benefits for the general public.
Aha. So, sister, when did you and the Mother House begin to take such action? I know you've been in the media reported, and there's a wonderful video that's, is it Mother Jones or The Nation that
uh-huh.
you there's been some wonderful coverage for you. What was it that got everybody's attention? What did you ladies finally stand to with?
Well, what got our attention was when we began to, we knew that there were some people, we heard about Williams, knew that there were some surveyors that were coming around, and so, you know, you could look up fracking on the internet, and
right.
we just did not feel comfortable knowing what kind of liquid gases would be going through these pipelines. And we've been on this property since 1824, and it has always been a property that we had educational activities here, and also it has been a farm, so this is a productive land. And we just decided that we would say no to any permission for surveyors to come on our land. And then we found out that there were other people in our surrounding counties that also were aware of potential dangers with this particular type of fluid coming through pipelines. And so we began to go to the different meetings that were held in our neighboring counties. And then we began, we really hoping, you know, you want to have a balanced view of anything that you start to speak about.
Right.
And so the Bluegrass Pipeline internet source, many people are adding to that pipeline references to some of the difficulties, I would say dangers, that have occurred with where these pipelines go. And more, what has been to me so interesting for us is that more and more we know how many people are aware of the threats to the balance in our natural resources.
Absolutely.
And so this is just really for us a beginning. A beginning of making sure that we keep aware of all the influential factors that bear on the production of these liquid gases.
I hear you. I want to ask both of you to indulge me for one moment, because called in, and he would like to come on to the show, I'm sure. I need to dial him in, so give me a moment here, and we'll bring Jack onto the
show. Hello.
Hey, Jack. We've
Hi, how are you?
We're already underway with Sister Maria Vissi.
Good, okay.
The Bluegrass Pipeline. And
great.
Sister, this is our regular co-host, Jack Jodell.
Hi there, sister.
Oh, good evening.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah. And Jack, this is Wayne Johnson telling you welcome aboard.
Thank you, Wayne. Good to hear from you, too. Well, let's see what's happening tonight, this week.
Very good.
Sister,
could I just hear a little bit? In 2005, then Vice President Dick Cheney and, of course, the Republican Majority Congress pushed through what they referred to as the Energy Bill. Sounds pretty simple and basic. But basically, it gave carte blanche protection to where all the environmental laws, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, Clean Drinking Water Act, all of this in the gas fracking aspects, do not apply. Those laws do not apply, and matter of fact, it was called the Halliburton loophole.
Yes,
in the energy bill that has basically been the the fox watching the hen house kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And people, there's reports, of course, and it's very well known by many. People are able to light their water coming straight out of the tap because of the petroleum solvents and the gas that gets infused into the water table.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if, Sister, you could elaborate on that or...
Well, no, I know. And there's been a video made that is available, both the one and now the second edition of that video. And even just last night, I was I had Al Jazeera America on my iPad, and they were talking about a problem in Louisiana about sodium, that there was a pillar of salt. But anyway, the problem is that as you mine those things, you begin to put an imbalance into the area. So now we have areas just sinking into these very, very large sinkholes.
Huge sinkholes,
like,
yes, sister. We've had guests on here telling us about that. It's horrible.
Bayou corn sinkhole, yeah. You were referring to Gasland, the film Gasland and Gasland 2,
yes.
Right?
Yes. You know, and then the other thing in Louisiana is just that people are becoming more aware of the difficulties, and that to me is what I think we're mostly interested in as educators, is to take the time to look into these resources and then take the time to talk to people about this so that we are more aware of the things that are happening. You know, up in Pennsylvania, now the latest was that there were a couple of the wells that weren't producing as much, and so they moved, so they walk away from the well, and the whole little town, you know, that kind of grew up around it, there they sit. Because from night to day, the well's not usable for profit, I guess you might say. So I think we just have to become more aware. And then, of course, you know, that goes back to our individual lifestyles. If we spend money to get these things, then that's a business. So it's very interesting how these, you know, lead from one point of interest to the next. But I think it's very important. If we need to have a better balance in use of natural resources.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, sister. And I thank you for your activism and for your intense interest. That's so welcome. And so many people really are still unaware of the problems that we're facing in those areas. So it's very important for as many people to speak out as often as possible about that.
And you can go to the Bluegrass Pipeline, and get very, very, very many links. Another thing that I'm aware of is a group called the Wheeler Water Warriors. And what they will be doing is, and I think that began, during the 14th, I know, of September, they intend to begin an effort to educate people along the Ohio River to the potential dangers of both water being taken from the river and also toxic chemicals
being
barged down the river.
Right.
Yeah.
We had a guest on that reminded us about the Cuyahoga Fire. The Cuyahoga River actually caught on fire in the late 60s or so as a result of pollution. And they say it's almost as polluted. For a while it got cleaned up, and I guess it's almost polluted now as it was back then.
Right.
Yeah.
And, Sister, may I also add, it's not only the Ohio River, but there is, for those on the East Coast, the Delaware River, which basically runs, the watershed starts up in the upper state, New York, and runs straight on down through Philadelphia and, you know, dumps out in the head of the the Delaware Bay, around Wilmington there. So that's a large area, a highly populated area, and that is slated for fracking, too.
Well, if you look at the maps, if you go onto the website and just do fracking and you look at some of the maps that have been put out, you know, you're in Ohio, you're in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Mexico, certainly Texas, the problems that are happening in Texas with drought that has happened and then use of water. And and I feel like I need to put aside that time where I can go back and look at some of the data that is available. Now, just as you said, with the loopholes that have been in laws to govern this, there is not really even a good database of how much methane, for example, even goes into the air, et cetera, because there isn't oversight onto those. And in many cases, the industry itself is being asked to give data on it, since there isn't other oversight.
And that's untrustworthy.
The industry itself is basically policing themselves, and they're doing everything they can in Washington with lobbyists to keep it that way so that they can, you know, plumb the natural resources for profit. There's no true oversight going on. As Wayne pointed out, the energy bill that was put through by the last administration and this administration has been just as culpable with all of the environmental holocaust that's going on right now. And I really do think it's an environmental holocaust. Sister, please don't. I hope you don't think I'm using the word in the wrong way. The point is that there is just so much that's going on. And now people are looking at, there are so many different studies going on that also look at the rise of mini earthquakes that are happening through the Northeast land shifting that could be attributed to all of this fracking. I was shocked when I was doing some of the research on just how much fracking has gone on. I saw Gasland, and I realized there was a great deal, but I did not know. And this is exactly the kind of fracking with Gasland that was spotlighted there, that Sister Maria and her community and the Mother House and all of them in that area.
All my neighbors.
Yes, will be exposed to
mm-hmm.
if they're allowed to.
Mm-hmm. Let's add North Dakota to that list of states, because that's
yes.
been very active in fracking as well.
Hey, Jack, to elaborate on that, they cannot even come close to estimating how much of the natural gas that are in the Dakotas, eastern Montana to a little bit, but mainly the Dakotas.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding is it's like they have no idea where it could ever end.
Oh, I know. It's almost grand. Limitless. Yeah,
exactly.
Incredible.
Exactly. Yeah, the Marcellus Shale area, which is basically western Pennsylvania, eastern part of Ohio, West Virginia, and going down into a little bit of Tennessee in that area. They figure there was enough natural gas in there to power this whole country today for the
mm-hmm.
next 100-plus years.
Isn't that
but
incredible?
But what's out there in the Dakotas just makes the Marcellus Shale look like a dwarf.
And if only they could devise a way to get it out of the ground safely without endangering the rest of the environment and streams and lakes and everything else, you know?
Well, that's the key, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, that's how you want people to be aware of where their propane and their plastics and the other
right.
benefits that the industry certainly is going to put before you.
Oh yeah.
And that's what is of interest to me.
Yeah.
Is how willing would we be to kind of modify our lifestyles?
Yes. Yeah, and that's what it's going to take, isn't it, Sister?
Well, I think it does. You know,
yes.
I can't expect and that's why I said in another interview that we're talking apples and oranges, because
mm-hmm.
those corporations have a responsibility to their stockholders, to their CEOs, to the bonuses that need to be paid, to all the people that are employed in labs
mm-hmm.
and in their explorations,
mm-hmm.
and so that's where they are. But
yes.
where I am is looking at what I feel is a trust relationship with the planet, you know,
yes.
with the earth, with sustainability.
Yeah.
And we have a terrible imbalance
in
the use of resources.
Yes.
And,
Sister,
you know,
I missed the very early part of the show. What part of the country are you in? Are you calling from?
We're in Kentucky. We're in central
okay.
Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
We're
right.
about
yeah.
equally distanced south of either Louisville or Lexington.
Oh, okay, very good. Now I understand. Okay,
Jack,
great.
Jack, Sister Maria's, the Sisters of Loretto have been their community there in Kentucky is 780 acres, right, Sister?
Yes.
And
okay.
they've been there since the 19th century, 1824.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's old time
yeah.
stuff. And or blessed. I'm sorry.
Now the energy industry is trying to invade your territory and use it for its own purposes. Is that it?
No, the idea is to have a pipeline that runs from
okay.
up in Pennsylvania down
sure.
through Kentucky to meet up with a pipeline that is already in place that
sure.
will then
okay.
be able to transport these liquid gases to Louisiana.
Sure, sure. Okay. Yeah,
it's,
I understand then. Yeah.
It's basically just as, you know, there are so many pipelines right now. Last weekend we had Julia Trigg Crawford on from Direct Texas, who has been
mm-hmm.
fighting Trans-Canada for how long now, Jack?
A very long time. I don't even know the exact amount of months and years and stuff, but it's been an ongoing struggle, and she's had very, very, unfortunately, very little success. So we urge her to keep on going, and I hope she eventually ends up with victory.
They're pushing on to the state Supreme Court, having failed at the local level now, but, you know, before this was even decided in court, and before any judge ever made a motion, and before basically before there's been any real national bill that has been okayed for this pipeline, I guess down in the South, though the president okayed them building the southern end of the pipeline. The thing that remains wicked about this is the fact that they're using eminent domain to this. And this is a question I have for you, sister. Is there an eminent domain that can be pushed at your community and your neighbors there to get this pipeline pushed through? Do you face that?
Yeah. And that's where I would ask people to look on the Bluegrass Pipeline website, because this is a question that has come before the legislature in a special session that happened, and it will come back at the beginning of the year in regular sessions. And so there's a great deal of question about can that be used, because normally that should be used in cases of benefit for the general public. And that's why you have, like, electric lines or your gas lines, that there are a lot of those going through. But this is really actually, this is a liquid gas that's really for a private corporation's gain.
Mm-hmm. Right. Similar situation exists in Texas.
Yeah. Then, of course, it always comes up, well, we're not using any more water. Their argument is we're not using any more water than is used when people water their lawns or, for example, used in golf courses. And so that's why you really have to take the time to look at the studies that so far have come out, as I've said, not based on a good database, given the fact that there have not been those overview situations in place, but you have to keep looking at the arguments that come from their side, and then find out how much of that is verifiable.
Well, I was going to say, if I may interject here, sister and Jack and Glenn, excuse me. The best estimates to date, because right now this fracking is in the 39 of the 50 states of our union. And, you know, we're just in the beginning of this fracking project, you know, the overall total of this project. And to date, they figured that there was about 40 trillion gallons, and that's trillion with a T.
Wow.
That's mixed these chemicals with and then injected into the ground.
Oh.
I was going to say, when an industry says, oh, we're only going to use, you know, a minimum of this, but it doesn't tell you what kind of maximum they're going to use. So you have to be careful of the legalese, the Orwellian speak, and could you even trust the verbiage coming out of their mouth in the first place?
No, you can't.
Well, and you don't know what chemicals are in that water either that's being either re-injected. Now, the latest is, in some of the later studies that I've read, is that they've come to realize that some of the water, the fluid left over after it's been pushed down through a well, they didn't think that any of that could be reused. But now they have found that some of that might be reused to their benefit, because that's one cost. You know, you have a little bit of money coming back if you reuse the fluids.
Right.
But that's still an infinitesimal part of what's been going down.
Right. They figure that, you know, what can be brought back up from the ground after this fracking is only about 50%. So, in other words, of this 40 trillion gallons, 20 trillion gallons of toxic waste is sitting in your water aquifer.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of some, they give you some, you know, mind-numbing, boggling numbers.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this would get out to.
So really what we'll continue to do is spend the time to continue to keep up with what is happening And as far as the pipeline goes, be part of those people here in the state of Kentucky who are following the progress of this as far as eminent domain goes, as far as the company says that they have already 90% of the people that they have interviewed have agreed to be a part of, have agreed to be surveyed and then potentially be a part of the laying down of this pipeline. And at this point, they are saying that by 2015, they will be sending however many hundreds of thousands of gallons of liquid gas product through the pipeline. To meet up with a pipeline further south in the town that has been used for liquid, but has been used for gas, and so propane, I believe, and so they would just continue on with that same line. So there's a whole question of how safe is that if you just take over the lines that you have been transporting the gas that we use to heat, et cetera, and put this liquid gas that needs to go under pressure at a certain temperature.
That doesn't make sense, sister, to me. That says that spoils for just trouble in the very beginning of it. You know?
Well, and that's the ongoing process, is that we keep with this, that there is, at least from the part of view of the citizens that live around this, to know what's happening and to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's something else I'd like to interject. I'm sorry, something else I'd like to interject, because you made the comment that, in essence, all these pipelines and the transportation of this is only going down to Louisiana, which is the main shipping port. I have a very good old Navy buddy who is now a merchant marine. He's a navigation officer, and he's been on a lot of oil tanker ships, like out of Houston and stuff. But in the world energy market, we have to remember, this natural gas is not part of a collective of the American, you know, bringing down our fuel costs and stuff. It is on the world market to be marketed and sold. This natural gas is basically can ruin your real estate property values in Ohio or Pennsylvania or wherever. Truck it, you know, pipe it down to Louisiana to be sold to a European country, the Far East country, China, things like this, on the world market. So we're not really not benefiting as a nation. The individual citizens are making a sacrifice, because now it belongs to the individual corporations and international law says they can sell it to anybody they want at the marketplace.
And that's how globalism seems to play itself out, always hurting a certain amount of people to benefit a certain amount of others. It's kind of an unequal struggle, really.
I like to call them the 1%.
Yeah, exactly. Let's call the kettle black there. That's very true.
Yeah, so what we want to do is make sure that we know both sides of the story and that we're willing to speak out for the general public's benefit. That's the whole thing.
Yes, very true. Yep.
And we have to do that process of education, because it's not going to come over with our normal media sources. So it's a long-term homework, if you like, or a long-term effort that we've begun to be.
Well, it's something you've got to be relentless at it, and you've got to be persistent, and you can't give up. You just got to keep chugging away at it every day in every way, and eventually, hopefully, you reach a certain amount of people that will eventually help change things a little bit. That's our goal here at this program, is to slowly but surely make things a little better for everybody rather than just the few.
Absolutely,
because
Jack.
Go ahead, sister.
It just keeps opening doors. It's the whole electoral process.
Yes.
I mean, why are these things allowed to go along as they are?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have to question our use of resources. You know, people many times will quote how much of the electricity that's produced in the world is kind of tilted in our direction.
Oh, yeah.
And et cetera, et cetera. So,
We're a tremendous consumer of resources, and we unfortunately don't put much back, except for finished products in certain aspects, you know.
So that's what I would like to say is that we became aware, more aware of what fracking is because someone wanted to put a pipeline across our property,
mm-hmm.
and in connection with all the other individuals here in the state of Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
who are working, for example, lawyers who are helping people to understand,
mm-hmm.
for example, that if you sign on, if this becomes a reality, and you sign for an easement, just how careful you have to be on what the paper says about
mm-hmm.
how what you think is going to happen on your easement.
Mm-hmm.
And we have neighbors all around in this area who are, like ourselves, you know, even door-to-door, or any of the summer programs that we had, for example, in the smaller towns, we're going to be having ham days, and just to set up a table there and say to people, you know, we'd like to share some information with you, and that's
mm-hmm.
what we're doing, is sharing information.
Yeah, good. And Sister, on that point, that's a very good point, and I'm glad you brought it up. What specific sites would you recommend that people go to? You mentioned, I think, one earlier, but what specific other sites would you mention that people go to learn about this fracking and the problems it's causing, not only in your state, but maybe across the entire country?
Well, you can just go into the internet, really. And
mm-hmm.
You can talk about shale, exploration of the gas in shale.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about pipelines. You can even enter liquid gas production of, sale of, transportation
mm-hmm.
of, any of those.
Yes.
And just in general, in fracking, it's amazing the amount. We have two big binders now. We've gathered information so that in the community
mm-hmm.
people can just stop and kind of read for a while and become more educated about this whole question.
The whole process, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The whole process.
Right. And, of course, my question
and
comes
And it's interesting.
In.
Another thing is Green America. We get a publication from Green America, and they have a very good article on this whole thing. And you could probably go to their website and see it. I'm just trying to look here and see exactly fracking. The situation is getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a number of sites here that you can go to find out more about the getting worse of gas
mm-hmm.
fracking.
Okay.
So get that Green American.
Right, and the thing you mentioned Gasland earlier.
Uh-huh.
You have to remember those statistics and numbers and the facts that they were bringing out. That was just the drop, the very beginning of this whole big, large project that's slated to be developed. So you saw the cause and effects of just a little bit. Now exponentially magnify that.
All right. Right. And so, you know, natural gas, again, my other point is this is the same old, same old. These are non-renewable fossil sources. And
right.
as long as the amounts of money that are being put into the exploration and picking out of that is not at least some percentage of it going into exploration and a creative look at renewable sources, we'll just keep on with the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Yes, well,
with
my
degradation of resources.
Uh-huh.
Sister, my background is in the sciences aspects, and the only renewable and sustainable power source that we can use is hydrogen, because you can take
mm-hmm.
water. The old high school experiment where you run a little electricity through water, you separate the hydrogen
right.
and the oxygen atoms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once
right.
you have, used the hydrogen and, put it back into the air and stuff, well, then it'll just return back into H2O. It's, you know, the electromagnetic aspects of the two molecules naturally want to form water. So,
right.
And energy can just be gained simply from that.
And certainly, I would be thankful to those individuals who are attempting to do this kind of research with limited means, that's for sure. You know, things like even Green American that has publications that go out and that have professionals who can talk about these things at a peer level with the industry.
Oh, absolutely. And if they invested the same amount of money into hydrogen technology as they're putting into the fossil fuel aspects, we would be there. You know, we could be there just as well as any other technology.
Right.
You know, that one I read... go ahead.
No, that's all. I was just saying that technology is feasible. And I'll turn it back over to you, sister.
Right. No. Well, you know, a lot of the things that are going on with the fossil fuel, the easier your petroleum that were just wells that you'd sink a thing down and have it come bubbling up, you know, that's not underneath us. There are other governments that are controlling those sources. And so you have a whole global political scene that also affects our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's the selling point or the marketing point that they're using to sell gas is homegrown resources.
Right.
So we're not serving it to unstable areas within the world for our energy sources.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
well, the implication being that our eventual energy costs are going to drop, and I've seen not very much evidence to that. That asserts that very much.
Which
the gas prices will continue to go up. Once they've gone up, you'll see studies that look at that point. It's not going to go down.
Right. I agree totally, but they're trying to promote the perception that, this will be good for us and it'll keep energy costs down. Well, we all know better than that, but a lot of people don't know that.
It'll all be on the market. Right. It'll be market price on intercommerce trade.
Sure.
International commerce trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, I'm going to have to sign off, and I'll get back to you at a later time about what continues to happen here in our local neighborhoods,
right?
And how we are organized to follow this process, as if the pipeline does come through Kentucky.
Well, bless you for your activism, sister. You're on the right track. There's no doubt about that. And we wish you every success in educating the public to this very, very important matter.
You know, from a more spiritual point of view, really, you can't sort of argue with those individuals who are exploiting these things because they have looked ahead, and they do have public relations people who are very astute in how to present their point to it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what it comes down to me, just looking and praying over this, if you like, is unless there is, in a certain sense, a change of heart about how we live with one another and with the planted, we're not here just to take advantage of it.
Right.
There has to be kind of that change of heart that looks at things with different eyes. And I know that sounds a very kind of perhaps not attainable, but I think it is.
Well, it's a good goal to work towards, sister, and we agree with you 100% on that. There's no doubt about it. And it's part of a mindset that needs changing, and there's no doubt about that either.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, thank you all for all that you are doing, and I certainly would be willing at any time to talk to you again. I am going to be away from the mother house for this coming week, but I always have my little iPad with me, so I'm online.
Well, God bless you, sister. We appreciate your efforts very much, and we will certainly have you on the show again.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good evening.
I want to say it's a pleasure speaking with you, too, and listening to your From the Front Lines report on this subject.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good.
We'll just
thank
keep
you.
At it. We'll keep
yep.
at it.
Very good.
Very good.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting tale that we heard this afternoon, and it shows everywhere we're running into this problem of fracking, and it can have positive effects, and it can also have many negative ones. So it's
right.
It's worth something
thing, Jack,
that needs to be looked at.
And the thing that comes to my mind, Jack, is those whom are claiming Christian conservative values are the ones who empowered all of this.
Oh, yeah.
And anytime you want to inflict this kind of sickness and illness and the devaluation mm-hmm. of their wealth, their personal wealth, onto
right.
your fellow citizens of this country, that's
right.
pretty just the opposite of the teachings of Christ in my mind.
Exactly.
So,
I couldn't agree with you more. You're right on the money there. Very good, Wayne. I agree
Thank
with you 100% on that.
So. But, yes, I found the sister to be very interesting. It was a very good, I think it was quite a coup to have her on this show, Gwen. I want to compliment you on kudos to you there. Or as
yeah.
we said in the Navy, Bravo Zulu, which means job well done.
Yeah. Yeah. That just goes to show, listeners, you never know who's going to appear on this show, and it's always worth listening in on. So, there's so many things that you can learn about, and so many things that are beneficial for all of the country and the world, really. And it's important for us to keep discussing them and presenting them, and we will continue to do so as long as we're on the air.
Well, Jack, and you and I, you know me well enough that my point and the purpose of my blogging and stuff has always been get the correct, accurate information out there into the hands
right.
of the people. They
right.
will make the right decision.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we're not out. We're not here to present propaganda. We're here to present facts and factual information.
Absolutely. And it was Thomas Jefferson who said, "Someone who knows absolutely nothing at all is better informed than those whose mind has been full of propaganda and falsehoods."
Yes, that's so
inaccuracy
true.
Inaccuracy and
so
falsehoods,
good.
Even propaganda, but inaccuracy and falsehoods. But mm-hmm. that is unfortunately where we are today with like the few news programs and the AM radio, little hard radio. Their job is taken strictly out of Joseph Goebbels' propaganda
yep.
Book.
Very true.
And unfortunately, a lot of people are hoodwinked and fooled by it.
Well, that presents our job for us. Our task is to educate these people as to the correct way of thinking and as to the real reality of what faces them. Instead of accepting this propaganda, they've got to do a little delving and searching on their own, and we're going to help them do that any way we can. Every way and every week we try it, so we're going to keep that up.
Absolutely, Jack. So.
You bet.
So anyway, I'm trying to think what else here on the research that I've done, and I sent it to Gwen. The formula that Halliburton has, and it's the formula they use for the fracking, is basically protected under patent laws. They do not have to divulge what their formulas are, these petrochemicals, and, you know, basically they're the benzenes and stuff. And uh-huh. getting back to my friend who's the navigation officer, when they're transporting fuel, you know, across the ocean, if they're out on the deck or anywhere around the tanks, they have to wear gas masks because the benzenes and the other petroleum fumes coming off the gasoline and stuff cause brain cancer tumors.
Oh,
just
my.
Just the fumes alone. And
yeah.
when people talk about, you know, they, you know, and when they're fracking that, the shale and stuff, any cracks and fusions within the soil, these chemicals, fumes, are waking up through the soil. The well may be, you know, 500 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
But where your house is and stuff, these fumes are still leaping up through it.
Sure.
People complaining of headaches, most terrible headaches they've had, nausea and stuff, because basically the atmosphere around them, and also being trapped into the houses, you know, we've heard the warning of radon gas.
You're right,
You know, all these other petroleum solvent gases accumulating.
And petroleum byproducts are very deadly.
Very well. How many kids have you heard as we were kids, you know, and stuff of the insanity of some teenagers huffing gasoline?
Oh, exactly. Sure, sure. You bet.
It's the same thing. That's what you're doing. You're huffing gasoline.
Sure, yeah.
You know, these petroleum solvents. And, you know, but because it's all protected and cannot be divulged and be made to be divulged,
That horrible first decade of this century, when the Bushes controlled everything, the Bushes and the Cheneys were completely grabbing everything for the energy industry at the expense of the rest of the world. It's reprehensible, and we will be paying for this in lives, in money, in mistakes for many, many years to come. And these guys, they're economic criminals, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I, in my notes that I'd sent to Glenn previous to the program airing here, was we have to use John Nash's game theorem and identify and project all of the variables.
Yes.
Now, let's take a look at the cost to private medical industries for those who have insurance, or the Medicare, Medicaid, taxpayer-supported you know, insurances and stuff, and just the plain cost to the families in medical insurance.
Exactly.
Basically subsidizing
through
these variables the whole industry. Now the cost of this is, and the valuation of your property, you know, you can't sell a house because you can't drink the water in your house.
Right.
So you got to take that out of the equation, the devaluation of the property of these people.
Sure, sure.
No,
and also the very nature of the people who have to suffer and die because of this stuff.
Right. So now the cost of the natural gas is very quite expensive. But
exactly.
It's all these unhidden costs that never show up that's not taken into account when the accountants do their mathematical reports.
Well, their eyes are skewed because they're just looking at the end profit for a very select number of individuals who are going to profit immensely from it while causing great cost to everybody else.
Exactly. That's the real crime in the sin of this for me.
Exactly.
It's the forced subsidizing of, you know, the oil / gas industry so they can make record profits.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, it seems like we're inundated with this kind of philosophy that as long as it's profitable, it's good. That's not the case, and we know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. It's not always good to have huge profit. It sometimes
right.
is very costly to generate such a thing, and that's exactly what you're talking about.
Right, and like you said, and at the national level, from everybody else sacrificing and, you know, ensuring the downturn of the industry and not the industry itself suffering the, you know, the negative aspects.
Right.
It doesn't show up on their board, you know, their accounting sheets, but the cost is still there.
Well, it's the same principle in another area that you see with Walmart. By underpaying their workers, a lot of those people are forced to go on food stamps, which costs taxpayers millions of dollars. It causes them to not be able to have to afford health insurance, so they're able to they have to go to emergency rooms and get treated that way at taxpayer expense. I mean, there's a tremendous cost to low prices, and it's not always truthful, this low prices stuff. Low prices come at a tremendous cost, I guess is what I'm trying to say, and Walmart's a perfect example of that.
Well, that, or even the fast food industry and things like that.
Oh, that
you
too.
You know, the single mother of two children working at they had a big protest up in Chicago demanding, you know, a more palatable compensation for their efforts and wage versus minimum wage. She has two children trying to support a household.
Mm-hmm.
She's on government-subsidized rent,
mm-hmm.
government-subsidized food stamps,
yes.
government-subsidized, mm-hmm. Health care for not only herself but her children.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, the school lunch programs and all that kind
sure.
of, they're all these other variables.
And none of that's free. We all pay for it.
Putting, yeah, every citizen in this country is footing that.
Right.
And yet
right.
they're showing the record profits. So, in essence, we are subsidizing that industry. I think it's called socialism,
yeah.
isn't it?
Well, yeah, for the rich. You know, it is so perverse that they claim that it's that, you know, that they pursue this course for, it's so narrow in focus, just strictly for profit for them only, and to hell with everything else. They don't even look at the rest of it and what they're doing. They're not even being smart in the remotest sense of the word. They're being very foolish and very costly to the rest of us.
Exactly. So
yeah,
the citizens company country really need to wake up, step back, and say, what
right.
is really costing me?
Right, right, exactly.
Am I
yep.
getting the return on my investment
yeah.
and the sacrifices that I'm making for all of this?
It's much easier to point at the boogeyman of government, big government, as being the big culprit here, when in fact it's providing relief from these horrible economic practices for these people, and they'd have absolutely nothing without government assistance. Why don't the companies just come clean and just do things the way they're supposed to do and pay a livable wage, and then we'd have a lot less reliance on government? Instead, they wanted to starve government. At the same time, they want to pay everybody else as little as they can, and just so they can realize big profits on their end. It's insane.
Well, like you, I think you said it very well, and I like the term, you know. It's so much easier to divert the public's attention, point
mm-hmm.
to something, say, there's the boogeyman, or watch the pretty birdie, you know, kind
yeah.
of thing. Meanwhile,
right.
you know, they're, you know, pulling the magic trick out of their hat.
Sure, exactly. Yep.
That divert
exactly.
aspect, that put the attention over here.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, those that complain the Tea Party membership and stuff are the
mm-hmm.
ones that are the easiest to dupe.
Mm-hmm.
Like many of the listeners have heard in the past year, I am consider myself a moderate Republican,
mm-hmm.
but I've seen that basically when they have a program that they want to push through and stuff, they actually use the term, and I'm quoting this, it's time to whip up the nut jobs.
Jeez, yeah. Holy
you know,
cow.
And that means, you know, give them something to scream and chant about, to go into public
mm-hmm.
meetings, and you're not going to take away my Medicare. Well, you know, I'm
right.
the one big government in here to take away, you know, I'm sorry, your Medicare is the government program that's giving you your credit. You
it's
know?
Amazing. Yeah.
But
the ignorance
no,
is amazing.
No critical thinking at all.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's something we're battling every day of the week, man. Every hour of every day, we're battling it. And in the small way we are on our own blogs and in big mass rallies that we attend and take part in, the movements we create, it's all part of the same picture. It's just we got to end this insanity. We got to end this greed. We'll never be able to completely end it, human nature being what it is. But we can get
yeah.
it to a point where it can be controlled better, or it can be made to conform better to what people really need as opposed to what they want.
Well, I've always said that if what you're proposing cannot stand the light of day scrutiny,
mm-hmm.
then it would be a program that's not worth supporting.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more.
Is unfortunately, there's a lot of the Republican platform of the last decade plus falls right into that category.
Yeah, and you know, the unfortunate thing is, too, the Democratic Party has lost its way as well. They've become the party
yeah.
of Wall Street, just like the Republicans were gobbled up by Wall Street a long time ago. The Democrats, many of them, have been gobbled up by Wall Street, too, and they've been tainted by their association with the Wall Street banks and stuff like that, and it's adversely affecting everyone.
Well, that's very true, because you know, I've said in the past and can be quoted, a drowning man will drown everybody else around him to keep afloat. And unfortunately, the Democrats have had to do the same thing, the Me Too, as many of the Republicans have already had, just to keep themselves in a viable aspect.
Yeah, it's you know, it kind of feeds on itself, and it's malignant is what it is. It's a bad phenomenon, and we've got to be relentless in our struggle to get this corrected and to get it changed, because it's change is a good thing, not always a good thing. There's been bad changes too, but the type of change we're talking about is definitely good, and will not only help people, it'll help the planet survive better. So.
Right.
We've got our work cut out for us, but we're up to the task, and let's keep it going. You know, that's all I can say.
Well, like, and then again, to take the change, I've also been quoted to saying, change does not necessarily mean progress.
Right, very true.
So, you know, and that's...
Yeah, progress is progress. Change is sometimes a component of it.
Right, well, that's why I said now, that's why I consider myself a progressive moderate Republican, because
right.
progressive means progress.
Yeah,
I am
exactly.
Look at it, and the progressive mind will eventually win out.
Oh yes, it's just you gotta beat yourself up so bad to get there. Eventually, sometimes it's just makes some people drop off the curve and figure what's the use. But no, there is a plenty of good use to it, and the other option is to go the reactionary course, and we certainly don't want to go backwards in either social aspects or economic aspects. We do not want to do that. We want to work forward. We want to be beneficial for as many people as possible, even rich people. You know, that was the nice thing about the 1960s era. People of all classes were helped, you know, certainly by the government, well, by government tax breaks and everything else. Everybody profited during the 60s, not some more than others. It's always going to be, but it's a good thing to have as many people do well as possible. And it's a bad thing to have all of it only go to the top.
Well, here's, I like to do this. Matter of fact, I was at a little, kind of like a school. They set up tents and was selling little trinkets, a little fundraising thing. And this girl, probably in her mid-20s, came up to me and said, would I like to sign the paper for freedom of work? And I said, well, what does that mean? So,
we got to get those damn unions out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Joel. She says, and I said, no, there needs to be more unions.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'll give you an example. When I was in high school and shortly out of high school, I worked for a grocery store chain, one of the large ones on the East Coast, and I was making $7 and some change, like $7.25 an hour back in 1972/73.
Yeah, it was good wages back then.
I was going to say, working with the grocery store, I belong to the Washington, D.C. Retail Clerks Union.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They busted the union, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, let's fast forward today. The grocery store here that I like to frequent, or any of them here in the Columbus, Ohio area, guess what the average wage is for a full-time worker at these nationally chain grocery stores?
Today?
$7 and some change an hour. So here we're talking about 1970s. We're talking almost 40 years.
Yeah, right.
And the wage in that for that job has stagnated and stayed the same.
Well, it's a common thread of topic on the Tom Hartman show, the Tom Hartman program, who's a great professor, a great progressive exponent, and he has a lot of very interesting and very relevant guests on, and I have started to listen and watch that quite a bit. It's very recommended to anybody of a progressive bent. Tom Hartman is a fabulous man, and he has great guests. He has a segment on there called Conversations with Great Minds, and he interviews people of all political persuasions, and he lets them talk freely, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it's very enlightening.
Is this that free TV that I read on your blog?
Free Speech TV. He's on Free Speech TV. He also is on radio as well. And you can go to the freespeechtv.org website and peruse a lot of the stuff that's on there. And it'll really boggle the mind, because you don't see it on regular TV. That's why I love Free Speech TV so much.
All right, let me give you a plug here, Jack. And for those who are listening in, please go to the Saturday Afternoon Post blog. You can read exactly about what we've just talked about here. It's very educational. It's very good and worth knowing to have a full, educated, open mind on all subjects to follow up on that.
Well, thank you very kindly, Wayne, and be sure to check in at the Engineer of Knowledge blog as well. That's always got a good topical aspect to it, and you'll always learn something there, too. So blogging is good. It's healthy. It's a good endeavor, and we urge many people to read as many blogs as they can, because you can certainly see untruth if there's